everybody, and welcome to our...
Good morning.
To our Sunday morning discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. Learning to love and spread the word and just hug on our Lord and our Savior for an hour before we go in and hug on Him a little bit more. So, who wants to lead in a word of prayer this morning? Clyde?
Lord, we do thank you for your presence here this morning. And we confess to you that we gathered in your name. So, Father, just have your way. Let the Holy Spirit, Lord, we invite him to sit among us and teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. And, Father, in that truth, may you be glorified every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Well, again, you know, we don't move very fast around here. Might have something to do with our age. But you know, slow is good. There ain't nothing great about fast.
According to...
Good to know, since none of us can do fast anymore.
Because none of us can do fast.
Mm-mm. You fast make mistakes when you're slow.
You make mistakes and you have, and then you take the time to look at them.
That's true.
We're probably, in the spirit, we're probably just the opposite of what we should be. We're fast usually in the spirit and slow in you know, according to James. Again, we should be slow there. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Slow to move.
Slow to move. I like that. Slow to move.
Well, we are once again in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Brenda.
Oh, I'm just nothing.
you raised your hand.
I don't know what I'm doing. I think I took you down.
I think that Greg is just volunteered to close us in a word of prayer. Okay, so it seems to me that we were reading in verse 20. Is that right, Clyde?
Yep, that's right.
And
we
you
were.
Had suggested that we start, I was going to say, let's go start right at 21 and go. And you said something about, why don't we reread 20?
Right.
And go on from there. And I think that's a real good idea. But that is a super, super verse. So, and let's not go so far this time, though. Mine shows another, you know, a normal place to stop at 26. So let's read from 20 to 25. You wanna?
Oh, and provide. I don't know from.
It's your turn.
All righty, but I know whether he's going to do the other translation that he's been reading out of. So,
14.
So we'll start at 20 there.
Mm-hmm, 20.
Brethren, do not be children, immature in your thinking. Continue to be babes in matters of evil, but in your minds be mature men. It is written in the law, by men of strange languages and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and not even then will they listen to me, says the Lord. Thus unknown tongues are meant for a supernatural sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers and on the point of believing, while prophecy inspired preaching and teaching, interpreting the divine will and purpose, is not for unbelievers on the point of believing, but for believers. Therefore, if the whole church assembles and all of you speak in uninitiated or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are demented? But if all prophecy and giving inspired testimony and interpreting the divine will and purpose, an unbeliever or untaught outsider comes in, he is told of his sin and reproved and convicted and convinced by all, and his deeds and needs are examined, estimated, and determined, and he is called to account by all. the secrets of his heart are laid bare, and so falling on his face that he will worship God, declaring that God is among you in very truth. So that's 25.
Okay.
All right.
There was something in there that I found very interesting in the right in the translation that you read it. It was right at the beginning. It might have been 21.
Mm-hmm.
Read 21 again, if you wouldn't mind.
It is written in the law by men of strange languages, and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people. And not even that then will they listen to me, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The King James says, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And it said it's written in the law. So that means it appears somewhere else in the Bible before?
In Joel.
In Joel? Okay. Do you know where it is in Joel? I'd like to kind of read that, because from what that is speaking to me, it's not talking about tongues as we know it today. And I believe that even at Pentecost, it wasn't tongues as we know it today, because it said all these men spoke to these people. They were gathered people from so many nations there, and every man heard it in his own language. It didn't say so much that they all, you know, that's not what when I hear someone speaking in tongues today, that's not what I'm hearing. I'm truly not hearing. I'm just going to be honest, I don't hear anyone speaking anything that I can recognize as any foreign language, you know. And that if there happened to be some Frenchman sitting in a congregation that day, he would hear the way to salvation in his own language. That's why it takes a word of prophecy to So I don't know. I will be the first person to say I have not exactly a problem with a lot of speaking in tongues, because I don't hear a lot of speaking in tongues in this church. And there were churches that I went to where there was, or maybe it was that time of our life or that time of our development, that there was a lot of that going on. It doesn't. The only time that speaking in tongues really speaks to my heart is when it is my soul, my spirit, groaning to my Father, generally in a private setting and not in the church congregation. So that I'm going to say that, and then, you know, and then we can go on, we can talk about it. But that thing in Joel, let's hear that, can we?
Awesome. I'm trying to find it here.
Okay. Let me see. Oh, I bet if I put on Strong's, it would show me. 21. By the law, it is written. Okay, let's see if it shows us some other. This says Psalms 113 and 114.
114 plus 114.
That word, that Greek word that is this translated as tongues, that's the only time it appears in the New Testament. It says that particular Greek word, and heteroglossus. King James Version translation count one time. Following tongues. One who speaks a foreign language is all that it means.
Well, that's not what all it means.
Okay, but it comes from 2087.
What I was thinking about was
In Joel?
Yeah, but that's not in Joel, so I'd have to look somewhere else.
Okay. Let's just go on then with our conversation.
You were saying you don't hear it here as much as, it doesn't mean that people who don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit don't speak in tongues.
You're not really supposed to speak out in church in tongues unless you give the interpretation.
Right.
Yeah.
And it says that right here in 1 Corinthians. Let all things be done in order.
Yeah.
I'll speak for myself.
Go ahead.
Because I've had one sister, you know, I knows her. And sometimes when she come, you know, and hug you, and she'll begin to just speak, and then God interprets it through her, what he was saying through her. Because sometimes there's not words. I don't know, like even yesterday, we were at home, and I was listening to different music, and began just to praise and worship God. And began to flow, and it was between me and God. It was, you know, speaking unto him, and there was no words to express what I was feeling at that time in his presence. But I know that I was worshiping him and thanking him, and that, and I know y'all experienced you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I even here in the service sometimes when we praising God and I begin to speak and not loud enough that it needs to be interpreted to those that are hearing. But it's just to me like a love language unto him,
mm-hmm.
unto God. And many times there are no words to express what you're feeling in him and how he's enveloping you in his love and presence. There's no words in English, you know.
Well, I sometimes think that the purpose of that whole thing is to bypass our natural thinking, because just as when we were talking about how people can take things differently, you don't mean it the way they interpreted it. I think that's the same in the spirit.
Yeah. I believe that. I've been in a service when I first got saved. I was in a service then, and I've never been in another one like it since then. Where Dan and Ron, it's his sister, went to church. And I know there was a prophet, and he was from New York, and he was praying for different families. He wanted us, we were all from Urbana, he would come up. And as he went down, he began to lay hands and pray, and God healed me. No one knew what physical problem I was having, and usually if a man prays for a woman, they have another woman put hands on, but when he got to me, he just went real quick, you know, just on me, and God touched me right then, because none of them knew that I was suffering all the way up there. I had surgery previously. But God knew. Mm-hmm. And after that, my husband and I were, you know, together. He had come back, and we were going to, I was going to go to California, but that was not God's will. And anyway, that's when I got pregnant. And I look at, they would praise and worship God. And the boy that played the piano, the young man, was so anointed. And the congregation was always joining in and praising, and they would begin to, it was in tongues, but it was another heavenly language to me unto God. And the whole place, you know, when there's something about the one where it said his train filled the temple and that, and I was just a babe and just got saved just maybe months or so before then, and never been in a, and it was like, you talk about a cloud, and about and everybody, it was like one voice, and they worshiped, and that wasn't, I've been there other times before, never, but that one service, it was really unique in God's presence, and they just, it sounded, I think of it as a sound of many waters, as a, it was like that. And it's beautiful because you are changed. You don't come into his presence without him touching you, and that you're changed. Mm-hmm. And I, it's beautiful. I desire this, you know, like, I know, you know, for us to worship together. Because when you worship at home, you know, to me it's even greater when you come together and worship together as a, you know, a oneness, a unity. And I just believe God would really touch us all and there would be miracles performed and the needs met. It's just the, you know, desire I've had. And I know what I have in his midst alone and how you desire to have it with others. I remember me and Sue, me and Betty. Oh, gosh.
The scripture that they were talking about is Isaiah 28. Starting with verse, I'll start with verse 9. It says,
in what?
Isaiah 28. It says, to whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, upon precept. And it says, upon precept, and line upon line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherein you shall cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet you would not hear. Did you hear it up there? It's verse 11. With stammering lips and another tongues will he speak to this people. Who's he talking about? Who is he talking about? He will speak. He's talking about God, isn't he?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's speaking through you with other tongues and other people. He uses other people.
Yes.
You know, speaks to people through that. So there it is. That's where it is, right there.
Yeah,
okay.
The Amplified.
Mm-hmm.
That verse 11 says, no, but the Lord will teach the rebels in a more humiliating way. By men with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, says Isaiah, and teach them his lessons.
Mm-hmm.
He said the same thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And now some translations will try to water that down and explain it away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They make it in such a way where it sounds like it's just other people speaking other languages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really what it's saying there. Said he will speak to you.
And does it say tongues or tongue?
Tongue.
In 11 it says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people.
Okay, because I was going to say, I couldn't find that. And I said, when I looked
here. It's Isaiah 28. 28 is really good anyway, because here's what he says. This whole chapter is a great chapter, I mean. But he says, he talks about them believing fables and all this kind of stuff. If you read the whole thing, it says, but I love this. It says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Okay, them that are weaned from milk, we know we're supposed to be eating the meat of the word, not milk any longer, and drawn from the breast. Okay. For precept must be upon precept,
mm-hmm.
upon precept, and line upon line upon line, here a little and there a little. And that's exactly the way God gives it to you. You know what? You couldn't receive it if he gave it all to you one time anyway. It'd blow your mind. And it says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this. And I think that's very important. You should underline that. This is the rest wherein you shall cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet you would not hear.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read you the rest of it. But listen to the rest of this. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept upon precept, and line upon line upon line, here a little and there a little. listen to this, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because they wouldn't hear it. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't receive it. Mm-hmm. You know. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come upon us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone tried, a stone precious, cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make a haste. And says, judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the pommel it, and hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding place. What's hail?
Hard water.
Hard water, ain't it? What did they say to Jesus when he said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood?
It's a hard
word. This is a hard word. How can we receive this?
Yes.
Think about that. And that's what the church out there is saying when you begin to teach them deeper truths. This is hard word. How can you receive that? This goes against my traditions. This goes against what the doctrines of the elders are. You know, and it says, let's just read the rest of that because it's great. Judgment will I also lay a line and righteousness to the pommel it, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding place. There's coming a time when the word of God is going to cover the earth like the waters do what?
Cover the sea.
Cover the sea. Mm-hmm. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Mm-hmm. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. Let's see.
That's a great
when
day.
The overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. I preached a sermon on this two or three times over the years a long time ago. It says, from the time that it goes forth, it shall take you to the morning by morning shall it pass over by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, I guess it's the way he said. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, and that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made stronger, for I have heard from, this Bible's hard for me to read because I got Amplified and the regular one in it, and I had to figure out where I'm at. Every time I turn a page, I said, do I go here or there? Lord God, host of a consumption even determined upon the whole earth, give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Doeth the plowman all day sow? Doeth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doeth he cast forth, I guess that's fitches, and scatter cumin? And cast in the principal wheat, and appoint barley and rye in their place. For his God doeth instruct him to discern, and doeth teach him. For the finches are not thrashed with the thrashing instrument, neither is a cart will turn upon the cumin. For the finches are beaten down with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Bread, corn is bruised, because he will not ever be thrashing it, nor break it with the wheel of the cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is a wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. But I'm telling you, that 28th chapter, that's a wonderful chapter.
I would like to really look into that.
I've preached on it a few times over the years.
Even if you have made a covenant with death.
Yeah, you made a covenant with death, and what do people do?
Your covenant with death shall be disannulled.
Right.
That means God has reconciled the world to himself.
Right.
And your agreement with hell
right.
shall not stand.
Right.
if that is speaking to everybody, wow, it's going to get good.
Well, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Mm. From the time that goeth forth, it shall take you. From morning by morning, it shall pass over, and day by night, and shall be a vexation only to understand the report.
See, and a lot of people try to say, well, that's Old Testament. There ain't no such a thing as Old Testament. It's the Word of God, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, there is a difference in the covenant that he made. The covenant he made with them was because they didn't want to be kings and priests unto their own people. You know, so they had to have a ruler over them. So he gave them laws and commandments. And those things are actually a curse. I hate to tell you, they're a curse because you can't do them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fulfill them. And I can show you that in Zechariah sometime or in Ezekiel 1, you know, where it literally talks about 10 things. And it says, this is the curse. It was a scroll and had 10 things written on it. And this is the curse that goes throughout the earth. Well, that curse is that it's the 10 commandments and you can't live by them.
Yeah.
Why? Because he wants to write his word in your mind and in your heart and your sins and your inequities. He'll remember no more. See?
Praise God.
But as long as those things, as you look to those things as I have to do these things, then it's you and it's not by grace, you know.
Can't do them.
Can't do them. Can't fulfill them. That's right.
And they kept adding to it till there was how many hundreds? And then Jesus comes and gives it two.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Commandments for dummies.
Sometime I'll have to come back and share a sermon he gave me years ago about that, like I'm telling you there. And he talked about the stork coming forth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
His stork, and I'd have to go back and find it to actually read it, what it actually says. But he talked about a stork. And what does the church always trying to do?
Birth babies.
They're never trying to grow them up. They're just trying to birth babies.
Mm-hmm.
They're constantly trying to do that. And, you know, I'll have to share that. So maybe next week I'll dig that out and I'll share that sermon with you.
You know, here in 29, which you just ended, it said, this also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom and
mm-hmm.
effectual working.
Mm-hmm.
And you see all that God done as effectual.
And it's like the sermon I preached to you all last week, all of these different scriptures that I gave you. All the different scriptures that I gave you. And it says, I, the Lord, shall do these things.
Yes.
And he, you know, basically was saying, who's going to do this? He's going to do it. You're not going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it in you. You know, you'll be a part of it. But it's not that you're going to do all these things. He's going to do it. But he's going to do it in you, you know. And
he also says, I, the Lord, have made evil
mm-hmm.
to bring these things, you know.
Right. Well, he's in control. And when we realize that, then it can help us kind of quit struggling so much with what's going on that we don't understand. You know, there's always going to be, until we come to the fullness of God, there's always going to be more things that we don't understand than the things that we do understand, you know, because he's like you say here, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, it's a gradual thing, and he's gradually opening his word up to us and gradually giving us the vision of what he's actually doing. But you know, if you tell the church a lot of this stuff out there, they're going to call you a heretic, you know. But this is what the Word says. That's one reason why when I speak most of the time, I use scriptures.
Yeah.
I don't give you a whole lot of stuff that I'm not reading you a scripture where it says it. Because, you know, it's pretty hard to fight with the scriptures. You can fight with them, but you ain't going to win that fight.
And the scriptures.
Because Jesus even quoted scripture.
And the scriptures are evidence.
Mm-hmm.
We watch a lot of these. 48 hours and things like
yes.
that. I like to see the solvings and the things, and you look and see how man don't yeah. can do no good and
yeah.
work things out. But you gotta have evidence proving what you're saying, and the scriptures are there evidence of, oh, right. so good.
I was wondering in this, I get back to 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people?
Mm-hmm.
Two questions, another tongue and who is this people? Now the another of another tongue says, because you know, God will not give his glory to another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, this just says another, other, following, a different tongue.
Yeah.
So another man following, it says this here, following next strange. So could that mean something about the Lord?
Well,
another tongue.
Well, it's him causing you to speak in that other tongue,
uh-huh.
you know. And put it to you like this. I don't know if I know how to even say what I'm trying to say here. these scriptures here, a lot of people will say, well, this is Old Testament, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is Old Testament. And yet, every place in scripture where it talks about what he's going to do and what he's doing is he's talking about you. He's not talking about just, yeah, that, see, there's at least three levels of scripture. There's always at least three levels of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Now some people try to say there's more, but I believe there's three. And that's what I've seen in all these studies that I've done. There's the level of the flesh. There's the level of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the level of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And every scripture is dealing with one of those three levels, or maybe all three of them, but in different steps, so to speak. Now, what he's saying back here, he's talking about, you know, you could take that scripture right there and go up into the New Testament and go up and start talking about total reconciliation. That's what he's talking about here. I mean, if you have eyes to see it, that's what he's talking about, because he's talking about he's going to do this thing. He's going, you know, God was in Christ doing what?
Reconciling
the world unto himself.
Yes.
Doing what? Why did he do that? Not in putting their trespasses.
Yes.
Okay. If he's not in putting their trespasses, who's in putting their trespasses? Isn't it us?
Yes.
Isn't it us that's telling people how bad of sinners they are? Isn't it the church that's always going to tell them that they're going to burn in hell and they're going to be destroyed and they're going to be this and that? You know, if they don't change their life, well, what they really need to do is come to know the Lord, the love, the mercy, the forgiveness of God, you know. And well, it's, you know, this scripture here where it talks about line upon line and precept upon precept,
mm-hmm.
here a little, there a little, you know. And he says, and let's read verse 11 again, it says here. Or we'll read 11 and 12. It says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And then verse 12 says, to whom he said, this is the rest. Now, aren't we always seeking the rest?
Amen.
This is the rest. And it says, wherein, which that's not really in the original. This is the rest. You may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Yet you would not hear. Okay? So we have to begin to claim what his word declares. All of those scriptures that I read to you last week, were portions of scripture taken out of scriptures. Now, a lot of people will say, yeah, but Oscar, you can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. because it's talking about a certain people. And that certain people is you. It's like I can tell you like this. Me and Margaret could sit down, and probably Clyde and Debbie, and probably any of you guys that's been married, especially for a long time. Well, I could sit down and write Margaret a love letter, and I could say things in there where you wouldn't have the foggiest idea of what I was saying. But she'd know exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
And she could do the same with me because of communication that we've had in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things that we've called things and all that kind of stuff, and gave names for stuff and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And that's the way the scriptures are. These things are hidden in the scripture, and it's up to us to dig them out. And he gives us the understanding, because you could read this scripture a million times, and you never get reconciliation unless you understood up in the New Testament that it says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses. And he's given to us what? A word of reconciliation, that we might do the work of reconciliation. Okay? Now, I've had a minister say to me, called here one time and said, is it true that you guys teach total reconciliation or reconciliation? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, then why am I out on the mission fields and doing all this stuff? You're out there because you're supposed to be doing the work of reconciliation. That's part of the work, telling people what he's done, letting them know that they've been forgiven already. All they have to do is just praise the Lord, accept what he's given them.
And being forgiven, you have to acknowledge.
Sure you do. I used to tell like this. It's like a man put in prison. Okay? And he's been in prison for a long time. And he's been mistreated by the guards, and he knows that he don't come out of his cell unless the guards say, they open the door and say, okay, it's time for you to come out. Mm-hmm. And yet, somebody comes into that prison and says, all the prisoners are free, and opens all the gates. But that man sitting in that cell, because a guard didn't come and tell him, you know, it's okay for you to leave the prison now, then whose fault is it he's sitting in that cell?
He wasn't told.
But he'll sit there until for eternity, so to speak, you know. And you got to realize that God, he came to set the captives free. He came to set the captives free. And if you read in, Isaiah, my brain's not working today good. If you read in Isaiah about chapter, I don't know if it's chapter 7 or not. But anyway, where Jesus came forward and he said, and he picked up the book and he began to read it.
Yes.
And he began to read. And he only read part of Isaiah. He stopped. Mm-hmm. The acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book when he said acceptable year of the Lord. And the rest of that is the vengeance of our God. But then if you read the rest of it, because one time the Lord was dealing with me about that and I read it. And he said, wait a minute. Now read the rest of it. The vengeance of our God. And I felt like he told me, now ask me how I'm going to get vengeance. And the next one says, by comforting all that mourn.
Oh, yes.
Don't that sound like the Lord?
Oh,
don't that sound like Jesus?
Yes.
To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for heaviness. You know, and goes on and says, and why is he going to do that? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That they might rebuild the old waste cities and the old waste places. You know, where are you going to rebuild the old waste places? That's not talking about all these buildings out here. It's talking about waste places in people.
Yes.
It's talking about you telling them what God's already done. You telling them that they've been forgiven, that they can walk in newness of life and all this kind of stuff. And boy, I tell you, we miss it a lot because we're waiting for a day to happen. And it's not necessarily a day, it's us. Go ahead, Clyde, you had something to say.
I wanted to comment on verse 12, that last verse, the last part of that is the key to this whole thing, and they would not hear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was thinking of something very same, but you go ahead.
But anyway, first of all, it says with stammering lips. I'm probably the only one in here that doesn't know that that means strange lips, okay? And I want to tell you something else I don't know. I don't know precept by precept, but that's the order of God. Because I looked it up. I mean, that's what it says. It said the order. God has an order. And first order, I believe, is hearing and believing. Hear, it, yet they would not hear. Why do you think we pray so much, or it teaches us to do this?
Well, let me ask you a question. Where does it end? What does it say up in the New Testament about hearing? How shall they hear?
Someone tell them.
By a preacher.
Right.
And we're all preachers. We all should be preaching the word.
I think the problem with the people who don't get reconciliation is they think you're giving people a free pass from sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's not
that's
it.
Right. You're not giving them a free pass to sin. You're giving them a release from it.
The bondage.
Yes.
A release
but
from
it. But for there to be salvation, there has to be an acknowledgement that there's righteousness and there's sin.
And that's why it says in the scripture that every knee shall bow. Uh-huh. And every tongue shall confess. But how are they going to hear if you don't tell them?
Yeah.
They aren't going to. You know. Now, you know, I hate to say this sometimes, but sometimes Christian people can be some of the most hateful people you've ever seen in your life if they're hanging on a doctrine or something. You know what I mean? Because, oh, bless God, that's what you're saying is of the devil. No, it's not of the devil, it's of the Lord.
Right.
Is it okay? I'd like to read that 11 and 12, mm-hmm, and 13 and kind of throw in the Strong's for a couple of words. And I think this is a way that I understand it. Mm-hmm. For with stamps, strange lips, and another tongue, mm-hmm, he will speak to this people. These are the people who, to this people, to whom he said, listen, I'm paraphrasing, by the way, listen, this is the rest, this is the man of God, this is the Christ in us saying, he says, this is the rest, listen, which they wouldn't listen, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Because the word of the Lord was unto them commandment by commandment. Commandment on top of commandment. Cords upon cords. Cords upon cords. That's the way these people are thinking that the word of God is. Here a little, there a little. That they might go, and you think you're going, and then you fall backward, and be broken, and snared, and taken. I think that's the way people who look at the law as their salvation think. I got all these commandments. Sometimes I'm doing them all, and then I fall back, and there's nothing I can do in that hopeless, lost feeling that I can't do it. I can't do it. That guy at the first, he says, come on, this is the rest. Here it is, that man with the strange lips. Here's the rest. They're not used to hearing that. They're used to hearing commandments and cords that tie you and bind you. But that man with the strange lip, he says, and another tongue speaks to these people, and he says, here's the rest. But they would not hear. Okay, that's all I had. That's the way I felt that was speaking to me. I don't know if it is.
Well, what you're saying basically is that is what causes a spirit of hopelessness, because you know you can't succeed
if
no matter how hard you try
to.
Yeah, it's always your fault.
One of the things that that I feel like all Christians should pray anytime they pray is, Lord, give me ears to hear what your Spirit would speak unto the church. Mm-hmm. First of all, if you do that, all the doctrines and all the other stuff don't mean nothing. It's what he's speaking unto the church. Give me ears to hear what your Spirit would speak unto the church. Okay, why would you ask for hearing? Because what does the New Testament say about hearing? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what?
The Word of God.
Okay, so we should be praying that on a daily basis when we're reading the scriptures, in every facet of whatever we're in, we should be praying, Lord, give us ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to the church today. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, us getting into this chapter 28, that wasn't planned, you know. And I had to go out of here for a minute and try to figure out where it was, because I knew it was in there. But see, the thing about it is that that word is as prevalent today as it was when it was written 2,000 years ago, or whenever it was, 3,000 years ago, whenever it was written. It's prevalent today. And how does God deal with you? Did he just give you all the knowledge all of a sudden? that you knew all the things that you know right now? No. He gave it to you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and that's exactly the way he did it. And it's just like, you know, the things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit. You take a little baby and you say, okay, little baby, I'm going to teach you how to speak. And you say, now here, I want you to repeat after me, and you start reading a dictionary or something. Now, is that little baby going to get that dictionary? No. You start giving them just a word here, dad, dad. Mama, you little bit of time. And the things of the natural always declare the things of the Spirit. That's a way, we're like little blank little children when it comes to the knowledge of the Lord. He's gradually opening things up to us more and more and more until the dawning of a perfect day where we see him as he is in the fullness. And when we see him as he really is, we'll be just like him. You know, and that's why these things remain. We read this earlier in Corinthians. Was it faith, hope, and love? Mm-hmm. Or charity? You know, faith, hope, and charity, which is love. But if you go back into Romans, the 12th chapter, where it says, where it talks about, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. How many things? Three? Mm-hmm. Faith, hope, and love. Mm-hmm. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Mm-hmm. And that perfect is full-aged man. It means full-aged man. Mm-hmm. When you come up to a full-aged man in Christ, guess what? Then shall you know, like it says up there about love, then shall you know even as you are known. And that means you'll know God even as he knows you. Mm. And buddy, when you know him as he knows you, guess what? You're a manifest son of God. You're as much a part of God as God's part of God, because you're one with him when you become that full-aged man in him. And what does it say in Romans? Romans chapter, it's not in Romans, it's in Ephesians, I think it is, where it talks about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Until we all come.
And it says, until we come to the unity of the what? The faith.
Oh, okay.
The faith. Mm-hmm. How do you come to the unity of the faith?
We
where do you get faith? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by what? The Word of God. Okay. You know, and I mean, you know, a lot of this stuff, it's very, very simple, but it all fits together. It fits together into the perfect picture of what God's doing and how he's doing it. you know, people come and say, well, why should I come and sit down on Sunday morning and hear somebody get up in front of the church and preach a sermon? Why should you do that? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if God has anointed someone to teach, you're going to gain some nugget of truth, or something is going to sink down inside of you that will grow up into a reality in God. That's what will happen. And I'm sorry I talked too much today, but I mean, we got into this, and I mean, you know, it's, and I don't mean that
it's ordained.
Well, I know, but I mean, I you know, I try not to say nothing if I can keep from it, but sometimes I just have to.
The Spirit of God's in it. Yeah.
But anyway, read that, and realize, read the whole thing. You know, if you start at the top, he's saying, way to the crown of pride of the drunkards of Ephraim.
Yes.
No, wait a minute. Who was Ephraim?
Double portion.
Double portion.
It was also the place where Rachel was.
Move it up into the day. Who is the double portion? Who thinks they're the double portion? Who thinks that? The deeper truth people.
Oh, yeah.
They think they're the double portion, don't they?
Well, yeah.
Woe unto you, crowd of pride and drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is fading flower, which are the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty strong one, which as a tempest of hail, destroying storms, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing and cast down to the earth with the hand, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden underfoot. In other words, what he's going to do, he's going to bring down. There ain't going to be no pride in this thing. Like I said last week, Brother Eddie shared a sermon one time, and I think it was Paul King that he talked about, that had the vision of the last real strong move of God. And in that vision, and a lot of people thought it was when they were having those things that you went to, Mike, where the guys gathered in them stadiums. A lot of people thought it was that, but I don't necessarily know if it was that, but that could have been a foretaste of what could happen. But he said he saw a faceless people. Mm-hmm. Faceless. Well, how are you identified everywhere you go? By your face. I mean, I could look at 10 women standing in a row, and they could all have about the same build, about the same height, and Brenda was among them. And they all turned around, and as soon as I saw Brenda's face, guess what? I know it's Brenda, you know. But that faceless people, that means that it's the glory of God. It's all about him. It's not about any of us. You know, yeah, he said, I'll not give my glory to another. He said, Father, the glory you've given me, I've given it to them. But what does it say about Jesus? He made himself of no what? Reputation.
Yes.
And took on the form of a servant. You know. And I'm going to tell you what. When you start lifting up even these preachers and ministers out there that's got this deep word, there's nothing wrong with that deep word, and I love it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't put them guys on no pedestal. And please don't ever do that with me, because I don't belong up there. I'll tell you right now. But just realize that these scriptures, a lot of these scriptures, they're not just talking about what happened. And there was some natural things happened back then. But those natural things declare the things of what? What I've just been saying to you, the Spirit. So, this is just as applicable today as it was when it was written back then. And a lot of those prophecies that were given back then weren't really for them. They were for us. You know?
When you put a person on a pedestal, you do them an injustice.
You do.
Really. And if they are caught up in it and receive what, you know, to me it's like, who was it in the New Testament where when he came out among the people and the sun shone on...
Yeah, it was Herod.
Herod.
Was, yeah,
and the people, and he looked like a god.
Oh, God,
they said.
Mm-hmm.
And he received it and believed it, God struck him down. He was eaten right up with worms. So.
Well, let me tell you, when and I don't even like bringing up this guy's name, but I've seen on television recently, they've been having some things about Jim Jones on there. Mm-hmm. When that thing happened with Jim Jones, I sat down in the living room because I had heard so many things about Jim Jones over the years, you know, a lot of things. And I sat down in the living room and I prayed and I said, Lord, why did this have to happen? Because this is going to devastate a lot of people who have this guy lifted up as being something beyond what he was, you know. And I felt like he gave me that scripture concerning Samuel and Saul. And when Samuel talked to Saul, he said, Saul, when you were little in your own eyes, God made you king over Israel. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He became big in his own eyes. Mm-hmm. Look at Uzziah in the earlier books of Isaiah and him. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. The story about Uzziah, it says, Uzziah sought the counsel of his mother and the priest, and he was marvelously helped until he became strong. So don't say, Lord, make me strong, make me strong, make me strong to myself, because that's the worst thing that can happen to you, because you're going down. You're going down when that happens. You say, Lord, keep me under the shadow of your wings. You know, keep me in that place where I know where my strength comes. I know where my source is. And buddy, if you do that, you'll be okay, because that's what it's all about.
We're ready now for what you volunteered for. God bless you.
Oh, Lord, we just thank you for the word. We thank you, Father, how you're expressing yourself to us and in us and through us. May we, oh God, be humble and be committed and submitted to you in all that we say and do, oh God, that you may be glorified in and through our lives, Father. And as we go to this next service, Father, you be glorified, oh God. You be glorified. We commit everything into your hands, oh God, that you be glorified. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.